Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for taking the time to download the latest episode of the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here. Every time you spend some time with us, we're getting ready for a fun trip report. We have Michael on the line joining us from down in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're going to talk about his trips, more than one, down to Walt Disney World last year. We talk about August, right after the parks reopened, staying at the Grand Floridian, then going back to the Grand in December without theme park tickets. How did they have fun? They went to Disney Springs. They swam. They did all kinds of fun stuff. We have a great discussion about Walt Disney World, the current times, and how much fun you can have on any trip right now. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today. They would love to help you with your next vacation to a Disney destination. And don't forget, 2022 packages are now available. Check out all the details over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits and it costs you nothing extra. It's a great free way to support the podcast. Just click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Finally, a huge thank you, a heartfelt thank you to our patrons. You guys are carrying the show while travel's down just a bit, and I appreciate it so much. Thank you for doing that. If you'd like some extra content in your week, like Mike in the Midwest every Thursday, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1853 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you, and strap in, ladies and gentlemen. No holiday this week. You're going to school or work for 5 days straight. I know, it's wrong. I agree, it's wrong. But hey, we're going to help you get there on this first day of the week by talking some Disney and some great times and fun trips. And we're going to be heading down to the greater Charlotte area, talking to my friend Michael. Michael, thanks for joining us today. How you doing?
Great, man. Thanks for having me. It's been a long day at work today, and I was looking forward to talking some Disney. It was a long day.
So what do you do for a living? I just like hearing that, you know, how do you pay for these fun times that we have down at Disney?
I work for one of the large banks here in Charlotte, and I won't bore you with all the exciting details, but I work in risk and compliance for the bank. So
I don't want to know my risk reward kind of ratio or anything like that. No. So let me ask you this, though, because, of course, this past week, the country was dealing with all this, you know, ice and, you know, power outages and snow in play. Beaches are getting snow. I mean, it's been just nuts over the last, you know, couple of weeks. How has Charlotte, how's North Carolina fared?
So in Charlotte, we have gotten rain, and it's crazy because I grew up about an hour and a half south of Charlotte in South Carolina, and we went down to see my sister and her family 2 weekends ago, and just for the day, just for a few hours, and we drove back, and they got snow that evening, and we just got dumped on with rain. So it was just that difference we were talking about, Mike, of a few degrees, and it was all rain here, and they got, you know, it didn't stick, but they probably got an inch or so, and we're able to make snowmen and stuff like that.
Yeah, no fun. I've always said, you know, if it's going to be cold, it may as well snow. I do hate ice because ice makes the electricity go out. That's happened here a few times. That's just miserable. You're cold. There's nothing to do. I mean, it's terrible. But yeah, there's nothing worse than a cold rain like in February, right? I mean, like a 38 degree rain, that is just the worst. Like, give me some snow at that point.
That's right. Yeah, and you can't even get outside. We try to get out and take walks during the day because we both work from home, my wife and I. And some days work dictates that, and other days the weather. We have a treadmill, but it's just not the same. I mean, even going out in, you know, 35 degree weather on a nice clear day is better than staying inside.
Oh yeah, I got a love hate relationship with the old treadmill. We love each other and hate each other at the same time. Thank God for the iPad to watch stuff. Anyway, let me ask you this too before we kind of get going onto the trip. Give us some background. I like doing this at the top of the show. Just kind of, you know, why are you a Disney fan? What got you hooked on Walt Disney World first trip? Just, you know, what has led you to the point where we're talking Disney and your trips today?
Sure. Yeah. And I want to give a quick shout out to my daughter, who's turning 11 today.
Yes.
My first princess. She's my oldest daughter. And I'm going to be in trouble if I don't give a shout out to my 7.5-year-old who's having a half birthday.
All right. Oh, yeah. You got to keep right there. When you have daughters, you got to be careful. Everything's got to be equitable. I mean,
that's right.
I'm telling you.
That's right. I mean, we didn't have half birthdays growing up. No. But now it's a thing, you know. So, but yeah, I think like a lot of the listeners I've heard on the podcast and heard you talk to and call in and interview, very similar. I went probably when I was 5 or 6 to Disney World, just had Magic Kingdom there. We weren't even staying on property. This would have been 76, 77, somewhere in there. I'm trying to find the pictures, by the way, of those, cause I know they're around here somewhere.
Nice.
But it didn't go again until really college, on a spring break 1 year. And then after that, I was, it was probably 5 or 6 years later in my 20s. And then as my wife and I met, we started doing some of the Run Disney races. We got kind of hooked from that standpoint. And then as we started to build a family, we decided this was going to be our thing. I grew up going to the beaches of South Carolina. My wife grew up in Massachusetts, going to the coast. And we said, you know what, we like that, but let's do something different for our kids. And so we kind of made an effort to let's make an effort to go to Disney on a regular basis.
That's very cool. Yeah, let me ask you this, because that's kind of the same thing with me. I went once as a kid, just kind of passing through on a trip from spring training up to Philadelphia for my dad's buddy who pitched for the Phils. But you know, I didn't get to go back until like I was in college. And the thing that really kind of hooked me, and it was so weird, you know, as I think back on this, because, you know, I wish, again, I'm older, so, you know, we didn't have digital cameras back. You know, like I look at any, like I go down for like a quick weekend. We did the Give Kids the World thing in December. So I went down for like 3 nights real fast, in and out, you know, Give Kids the World for a full day. Went to the parks a couple days. Just hung out at the resort. I had like 7,000 pictures from like 3 days, you know, because I take pictures of what I eat. I take pictures of outside the hotel, the room, everywhere I go. And, you know, I wish I could see what that trip was like in college the first time I went down. But like my memories, as I recall, were the things that kind of got me excited and want to learn more and go check out books at the library. I know, again, I'm old. There wasn't as much internet stuff back then, but it was almost just like how well the medians on the roads were manicured, the purple signs to get you from place to place, the entranceway to French Quarter when you pulled in to the resort, you know, with all the lights and they had jazz music playing and you walked around, it looked like a little street, and the street names. I mean, it wasn't like the Magic Kingdom or Epcot or any big rides that got me excited. It was more like the logistics and how themed everything was, even lights, you know, street lights. Was there anything like that that kind of got you really kind of wanting to learn more about the place and visit more and more?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to add to that, just how clean it is. I mean, just, you know, we have a local park, it's about 10 miles away called Carowinds here. And I remember the first time I went to a water park at Disney, and we were going somewhere afterwards. So we took a backpack and we showered in the, you know, in the changing rooms and all that. And, you know, there was, I think by the time we were walked out, someone had come in and cleaned the restroom again while we were in there. Just the attention to detail, how everything is clean and manicured, like you said, it feels like, you know, you're at your resort when you're staying on property, but it feels like you're in this one huge, like clean, manicured, themed resort. And everywhere you go, it's like that. It's just, there's not a bad site, you know, there's not a bad place to go. It's just a really fun place, and it's a safe place, you know, to take our kids and to feel safe as a family.
Absolutely. All right, so before we talk about your two trips, one more thing. You mentioned Run Disney. My ears perked up. I have on my Marathon Weekend 2020 hoodie. I miss Run Disney. I miss my races. But that again, we talk about the treadmill. I need to be on that thing for a reason. And if they don't give me a reason here soon, I'm about to lose my stuff. So now you mentioned you and your wife are on the Run Disney races. So maybe like one memory or a favorite race or something you really enjoy about Run Disney for our lizards out there that are listening. We got to give them a nugget, man. It's been too long. They need to hear some Run Disney. So give us something.
Yeah. So the first marathon I did and the first Disney race I did was 2007, just the marathon. You know, I don't think there was a lot of Combinate. There wasn't a Goofy then, I don't think, or maybe there was. And then after that, I got interested in doing, okay, well, I want to do Goofy now, you know, because that was something to strive for. But I'll tell you, we had a big group that would go down, and you know, oftentimes it's even if you train with someone, and I'm sure listeners have had this experience. Either you're no one's ever feeling the same on race day,
right?
So, you know, you feel like I'm going to go get my best time, and you leave the person, or they feel like they're going to get their best time. We had a group, I think one time there was about 10 of us, and we stayed together for the whole dopey, and it was just a blast. I mean, we were slow, but, and then towards the end of the marathon, or the second half of the marathon, I mean, we stopped at every place we could. Oh, there's some Tylenol. We're going to stop there.
Yes.
Let's get some Biogel, you know. I mean, it was a very memorable experience because we all stuck together. We all went across the finish line together, and we just laughed the whole way.
Oh man, that's what it's all about, really. I mean, it's not about PRs, even though, you know, there's been a couple weekends I've been down there without a big group. Of course, with the Lizards and, you know, our running squad, we have a lot of folks there at any race. I mean, you always have friends, but there's been times, like you said, I've just gone off by myself. Like, I'm just going to go run this one as hard as I can and see what I can get. And that's fun, but you're right. The most fun is when you're just hanging out and having a good time. Just, you know, avoiding the sweep is what you're trying to do. You know, get the medal, finish the race, and just have as, you know, make as many memories as you can on the course. And you cracked me up talking about the marathon Tylenol. Because, I mean, I remember, you know, Candy at backstage at the studios and Tylenol at Wide World of Sports. You know, they get you in. I mean, yeah. That's exactly my strategy.
Yeah, I would write it down. I would start writing it down on my bib. It was crazy because, especially for the marathon, you'd write down, okay, at this mile, I'm going to take a goo. At this mile, I'm going to do a salt tablet or whatever I had. You know? Because you just get delirious. And like, you can't do math. Like, when did I have the goo last time? When did, you know? I had to start writing it down, like on my bib upside down, so I could flip it up and look at it.
That's a great idea. I never thought of that. Yeah, I just know I always had the goo right by the gas station over there by where the old racetrack used to be. I mean, it's like God, I miss it. That's sick. I can remember exactly where I take my Tylenol. Where I take my goose, you know, all that back by the stinky, you know, garbage plant and stuff like that. Anyway, I'd give anything for that right now, but let's jump it. Let's talk about your trip for the Nautrunner. So you guys went down in August and stayed for quite a while, but then you went back in December, didn't have tickets, and just kind of found some stuff to do just to be down there. But let's talk about the normal kind of ish August trip. Where did you stay and how did that come about?
Yeah. So we stayed at Grand Floridian. One of the things that as we got more invested in Disney, we did join the Disney Vacation Club. We felt like, you know, we took the tour and we were hooked. But then we really did go back and say, okay, if we're planning on coming every year, this makes sense. And you rationalize it. But I know there are a lot of people that rationalize it and then they may not take advantage of it. So we'll see as the kids get older. But right now, it's been a pretty good investment. We usually stay at Grand Floridian, although we'll mix it up. We have just on a side note, we have a trip this coming August, and we're going to stay three nights at the Beach Club and then move over to Grand Floridian just to kind of change locations and change it up a little bit. So in both trips, we stayed there. We only stayed a couple nights in December. My in-laws live south of Tampa, so we usually break up the holiday trip and we'll stop in Disney. And either we have tickets or we don't. And then, like you said, we didn't this time. So we knew it was going to be, we're going to shop and we're going to eat. We're going to do some exploring and just kind of, and relax too. It was really nice on that trip because we got pixie dusted. We checked in, we had reserved a studio and they had upgraded us to a one bedroom. So right off the bat, we were like, okay, this is going to impact some of our plans because we, you know, we slept in, we didn't have anywhere to be. And we just kind of, part of the trip, we just lounged around the room, you know, the hotel.
I will say, okay, on the December trip, we didn't have tickets because we're kind of talking about that real quick. I just want to echo how, you know, for a lot of folks, it's hard to realize going down to Walt Disney. I mean, I'm 1,000 miles away and you're decent distance from Charlotte. But the thing is, we went down because we were going on it. This was a few years back, but we were going to go on a spring break cruise. It was just Mallory and Pam and myself. Paige had a soccer tournament. She's still in high school. Got snowed out while we were gone. She could have gone on the cruise. She didn't get to play soccer. We still give her a hard time about that. You gave up a spring break cruise because you're going to play 2 soccer games. It got canceled. But we didn't have tickets at the time, so we just stayed 2 nights at Art of Animation in a Little Mermaid room. And the thing was, I mean, we were just kind of passing through. We were driving. It was a cruise out of Miami. So we thought we'll stop in Orlando kind of break it up for a couple nights, then continue on 3 more hours down to Miami the day of the cruise. And it was, you know, the thing is, I know this is hard to believe, but it was so awesome because it was relaxing. We didn't have to be at a theme park. Didn't have to worry about fast passes back then and so forth. I mean, we went and we played putt-putt. We went to resorts and had meals. We swam at the, you know, the big blue pool. We swam in the Little Mermaid pool because that's what Mallory wanted to do. You know, it was just like, oh, man, you know, I didn't even miss the parks. Now, I don't know if I could do that for like 7 or 8 days, but for like 2 or 3 days just to be in the bubble and to not have to be anywhere, just go out and just do what you want when you want it. And it was, I think more Disney fans would enjoy that if they would give it a shot for like a weekend or, you know, maybe a 3 or 4 day weekend.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we actually, I know we're not talking about this, but we're going down in about a month we're still debating on whether we're going to buy tickets. We renewed our annual passes. We were one of the ones that I got nervous, by the way. Ours had lapsed, and then I was worried we weren't going to be able to renew them. So I renewed them a few weeks ago, but we haven't activated them yet. I think we'll probably wait till August because the water park's going to be open and we're staying at the beach club. But yeah, right now we're not planning on going in the parks, but we want to get away, you know, because between December and August, it's a long time to go with just staying at home because we're not planning on going anywhere else right now.
Right. And I mean, yeah. There's so much more to do at Disney Springs. I mean, you mentioned that nowadays, you know, even 4 or 5 years ago, there's probably twice as many places to eat, twice as many kind of experiential type things, you know, whether it's like Everglades donuts. I mean, yeah, you can go get a donut or a snack or, you know, stuff like that, but it's also kind of entertainment. You can see the donuts and, you know, getting them glazed, and you can go in the M&M store now and check out how they're, you know, printing custom M&Ms. It's not just, I mean, it's retail and dining. That's what it is, but there is enough there to kind of entertain you that you could fill a night or a couple of nights just going through Disney Springs without theme park tickets.
Yeah, and we did that in December. And one of the things, we've been in the Coca-Cola store. We've never gone to the top, or I think we walked up there one day just to see what it was, but we never had ordered anything there. And we decided to do the around the world Cokes. I highly recommend that because it was, first of all, it was $16, and you got 16 kind of shots of Coke, which is plenty for the four of us. Like, we didn't even finish it really, but a few of them. And it was just so funny trying the different ones and looking at the cards and where they were from. And then you get to the infamous Beverly.
Yes.
And it's like nothing you could describe, which we had heard about. But almost as bad as that one was the one from China. I mean, I don't know what it was. We were sitting there. It was a nice day. And there was another family doing the same thing. So we started talking to them. Oh, have you tried this one yet? You know, we kind of made some friends, and we hung out there about an hour and a half, just like goofing off and stuff. So it was unexpected fun.
It's crazy how many friendships have been formed over Beverly, which is the grossest beverage, and it's like motor oil or something. I don't know. It's I couldn't do it. I tried every time at Club Cool, and our buddy Jay, we did a fundraiser for Give Kids a World probably 7 or 8 years ago. He did 43 shots of Beverly because we raised $43,000 that day.
And okay. He did.
Oh my God! I think he hurled afterwards, so it wasn't. It didn't end pretty, but it was for all for the kids. And Give Kids a World. God bless you, Jay. Love you. Okay, so let me ask you this too. So when you went in August, I went in August too with Mallory because I just, as a Disney fan, as a podcast, you know, I have the podcast, but I'm a Disney fan. That's the bottom line. Like, I wanted to be there just for the history of the parks had reopened in July. The world was so upside down. Still in August, I mean. It's crazy. And I just had to get out of the house. I mean, I had been staying in and, you know, I work from home anyway all the time now that the last 3 years, and Mallory, you know, wasn't in school yet. It was still summer break. I mean, they were giving away airfare. I had an annual pass. Mallory had one, got a steal of a deal at Pop Century for a few nights. I mean, it was literally, I mean, I probably couldn't have gone to Six Flags cheaper than, you know, going down to Walt Disney World for a few nights in August, beginning of August. And it was a whole different world, but being there in August, I mean, it was still a ghost town. It's not that way anymore. Now the crowds are less, but it's not, I mean, the Magic Kingdom, I swear, when we left Liberty Tree Tavern one night, we were the last ones in the park. It was nuts. So do you have any memories of, because you've been many times, and then that first time back in August, how things were different, but how things maybe felt for you guys?
Yeah, we were, we were shocked most of the days that how low the crowds were. I mean, we were expecting it. We had heard, you know, and also even though we went a month or so after it reopened, there was still that fear that it wasn't going to be open by the time our trip rolled around. We had canceled. We were supposed to go in June originally, and then we had had a spring trip in April, and we had to move both of those, or cancel the April one, move the June one. So I think we were still a little hesitant, even up to the time we were leaving, like, because you just had no idea. It was Florida. Was Florida going to close its borders? Was Disney going to close down again? Just a crazy time. But and also, I know you like this topic. Like, we were at Grand Floridian, and most of it was shut off by the NBA bubble.
Yeah, we were peeking on. We peeked over the fence every time we rode the monorail when we were there. Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. So the only place we had access to, which is fine, we had the main building, which there really wasn't any reason to go over there. The bar was open and one of the restaurants. And then the DVC building. And even on the second floor of the main building, if you were in the bar, they had all the windows frosted out, so no one could go up there and look and see what was going on inside the bubble. And I saw one lady who was trying to be inconspicuous. And one day, and she's like walking near the blue fence, and man, these two security guards just like just converged on her. I mean, they were nice about it, but anytime you look like you were getting close to the blue fence, their ears perked up and they were coming for you.
The best was my buddy Scott was down there. I think he went quite a bit during this time, and I wasn't there yet. Well, he went down right after it reopened and stayed for 3 weeks. We were just there for the last few days of his stay. He stayed extra because we were coming down, and he was working from Old Key West, and he went over to the Grand, and they had they had a barbershop set up, right? Like a temporary barbershop, like near the fence. And so he's like, I'm going to go park next to the fence because the barbershop is where all the gossip happens, right? I mean, that's where everybody talks. And he's like, I can hear people talking. I can't really understand what they're saying. I'm like, oh, you're going to get tased or something's going to happen to you. Because, I mean, but he was exactly right. Like, set up camp next to the barbershop. You'll find out everything that is going on, man. But I mean, you know, like when we look back on this 5 years from now, like, how weird is it going to be that we're talking about a barbershop set up in the middle of the Grand Floridian for the NBA players, you know, some of the richest athletes in the world?
Yeah, I mean, it was literally, you know, probably, I don't know, 30 yards from the marketplace. I can't think of the name of it now. And we took a picture of the top of it because it had the logo all lit up at night. I did hear a funny story. I was watching some of the playoffs when we got back, and they were talking about the barbershop. And one of the guys on TNT said they had heard from one of the players that that they let all the rookies try out the barbershop first since they had popped it up. They were like, yeah, we'll let them check it out first before we go in there.
So, see if your hair gets jacked up, and then we'll see how those Disney barbers do, those Dapper Dans or whatever they call it. I can just hear them. Yeah, those guys, they sing to you. It's Disney. No, anyway. Okay, so let me ask you this. You have two girls, and you went down as a family, so how was that? Because that's one of the questions we get the most. And I, you know, I can give my answer, but I'm one person with one, you know, kid that's gone with me. What was the experience like with the kids as far as masking up and social, if Disney calls it physical distancing, you know, just the modifications of a Disney vacation? How was it for you?
Yeah, I think it was definitely more of an adjustment than it is now when we go, like when we went in December. Of course, it was cooler. But you know, the kids, when school was let out, they didn't go back to school. So they weren't wearing a mask very often at that point. So then going, you know, and we typically go in the summer, so we expect the heat, but there were a few times where we were, you know, even walking around, it was, I mean, you know, you were down there, it was pretty hot.
Yeah.
And it can be difficult to, you know, there's not many hills, but you certainly know when you're going up one in a mask in August.
Yeah.
But they did really well. We would take breaks. I think it helped too, going back to your earlier point. The crowds were low, and so we weren't in a big hurry. We got to do, you know, everything and more without running crazy all over the parks. And so that kind of helped too, instead of running from fast pass to fast pass or trying to beat the lines. We were a little more relaxed. But they did all right. I mean, if we needed to take a break, we'd sit on a bench and drink some water and take the masks off and kind of do it that. I mean, we knew the rules, so we weren't, if somebody's mask was below the nose and Disney called us out, we're like, yeah, okay, got it.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I mean, because the thing was still in August, you know, it was more of a learning thing, right? You said exactly what was true of me. Like I didn't leave the house much because again, I didn't have a lot of reason to leave the house. I mean, if we got something from Target, we got it where they just put it in our trunk. Like I just pull up in my Jeep, push the button, they put my Coke Zeros in the trunk. I never went in a grocery store. You know, Pam did the grocery shopping and, you know, I did that kind of stuff at Target. I work from home, you know? And so when I went down in August, that was one of the few times that I'd had a mask on for any length of time. And it was hot. I remember one day at World Showcase, man, we were in there in the afternoon and I mean, the sun was beating down. It was smoking hot. And that mask was getting me then. Cause it was just, you know, something I wasn't used to for like an extended period. You know, I can have it on to run into, you know, Target if I had to run inside for 5 minutes, no big deal. It's air conditioned, but it was an adjustment. But I think people, you know, the there's no good about this right now, but we're in February and moving into the spring where it's almost been a year. And the thing is with anything else in life, right? People are starting to adjust and get used to it. Probably the mask technology is getting a little better. I mean, maybe I remember the first couple I got were like, I joked about them on here. It's like putting underwear on your face, man. They were so thick and they were just like totally uncomfortable. It was like brutal. I think now they're getting more like, you know, like a Run Disney shirt or something where they breathe a little better, but still protect you. I just think that we're adjusting, which is a good thing. But ultimately, I can't wait till the time until we can get back to like 2019. Just have fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how much money we spent on masks. Probably like most people do. You found the ones that you liked and, you know, fortunately they weren't outrageous. Most places didn't gouge you. They're, you know, $4 or $5, but we've got quite a few laying around and, some we never used again. And other ones, you know, we found work pretty well. We did have a washer and dryer in our room, so that helped too. We were able to my wife was very good about taking some plastic, Ziploc bags and, making sure that the dirty ones went in one bag and, you know, we always had a clean one, or the kids had a clean one, and then we would do that laundry if we needed to.
See, that was the problem. It was just Mallory and I, so it was just her and her dad. And so we wore the same mask for a few days. Then it was like, we just bought there's a tie-dye one at Pop Century. Here it is. Let's both give tie-dye ones. Wear those for a couple days, you know, because you're right. They weren't that expensive. And the thing is, you know, I've kind of made a thing. You know, I'm not buying any more masks. Like, I'm optimistic, and I know a lot of people are still buying them. I have a lifetime supply, and I hope that after, like, 2021, I don't have to ever put these things on again. But, I mean, who knows? But, I mean, the thing is, I was buying them like crazy. Same thing. And I think Disney just shows how, as a Disney fan, like, you have to do the latest thing. Like, it used to be resort refillable mugs or those Vinylmations. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, oh, there's a new one. You know, Scott was really bad about this. Scott has 1,000 masks. I mean, he would send me pictures. I'm like, I got, like, 7. That's good. Like, I mean, I have a Christmas one. I have a Halloween one, you know, like I hope I don't need an Easter one. You know, I don't want one, you know, it's just, but it is what it is, but you're right. I mean, I think we're adjusting and we just do what we can to have a good time. So let me ask about, so when you went down in August, what do you like? Is there the one thing that sticks out for my trip was again, leaving Liberty Tree Tavern, Scott's family, Mallory and I, we had a big meal. We were stuffed from Liberty Tree. Oh, my gosh, we could barely move. We made the ADR for exactly at park closing, took our time eating. We didn't leave the restaurant until probably an hour and 15 minutes after park close, right at sunset, because, again, the park was closing so early in August. It was crazy. And we got so many great pictures in front of the castle at sunset and in front of the partner statue. I mean, I'll never, ever forget that because it was nobody else in the pictures. And nobody rushed us out either. So do you have anything that's going to stick out from that August trip that, you know, be something you'll never forget because of the time and place?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we went to Animal Kingdom, and we knew we typically will only go one day to Animal Kingdom, just the way the trip works out and what everybody wants to do. But it was like that. I mean, there was hardly anyone else there. We did everything, probably within 2 hours of walk, and that was not even being in a hurry. But the same, as you mentioned, just standing in front of the Tree of Life and getting pictures made, and there's like just nobody else around. It was sad in a way.
Yeah.
You know, it was, you'd kind of think before going like, oh, this is going to be great. There's not going to be any crowds. And some of the time it was, but the other times you're like, well, this just doesn't feel like the normal vacation where there's just a buzz and there's people all around you. And even if you're shoulder to shoulder, but that's what makes it exciting.
Right.
It obviously was good not to wait in line for all the rides, but outside of that, just, and around the hotels, they weren't, not many of them were open. The DVC ones were open, and I think maybe a couple more. So you didn't even see the people milling around the resorts that you normally do. So I will say that was something that I think I'll appreciate the crowds once we get back. That probably before I was, probably mumbling under my breath, like, there's just too many people.
yeah, totally. I mean, that's one of those things like, oh, if I could only be the only one in the park, this would be such a great day. And, now that we've experienced something, we're never going to be the only ones, but to an extent, as close as we can get to that, I felt the exact same way. People ask me, like, why do you go over the 4th of July? Or why do you go that week between New Year's and or Christmas and New Year's? And I mean, I get it. I've been many times. So if I don't ride Soarin' on a trip, it's not going to make or break me. Where if it's a first time guest, that's a big deal. There's no attraction that if I don't ride it on a particular trip, it's going to make me lose sleep. I mean, I ride what I can when I can and have a good see shows and stuff. But the thing is, you mentioned it, kind of the fellow guests and the crowd is kind of the heartbeat of Walt Disney World. Just the energy of the sounds of excited kids running around and grandparents, seeing their kids do something for the very first time, or, just when we were there, I mean, there were a lot of restaurants that were still closed in the theme parks and in the resorts, and some of the resorts still aren't open, and it transportation modes weren't available. So you're exactly right. I mean, it's everything, positives and negatives, but it was, it was exciting because we got, like, I saw the park hours. I'm like, man, this park's not open very long, but you know what? I didn't need that park to be open that long. I did everything. I was ready to go. It was so weird,
but
you're right. I mean, I think there's something to be said for a full park because that is, it's really kind of meta because you have to kind of have people doing all kinds of experiences around you to get the full experience. You need somebody riding on the omnibus going down Main Street on a morning at the Magic Kingdom just to kind of get the full experience. If everybody's just kind of walking in, there's a few people straggling in, it doesn't feel the same. That's exactly right.
Well, I think too, you kind of have in the back of your mind and Disneyland's still not open. Right. But going back to August, everything was so uncertain. And just, I think, subconsciously or maybe even consciously, you're looking around and like, okay, how long can Disney sustain this?
Yes.
I mean, we all think they have billions of dollars, but at some point, and I think that's why we don't see restaurants open and we don't see certain things open, because it's just not, it's not economically feasible for them to open every restaurant right now. I think you kind of have, I know I thought about that a few times, like, okay, and maybe that's why it was sad to me, because it was, you're wondering, like, are they going to have to close or close, longer?
Yeah. I mean, you saw it exactly right. Like, I was like, oh, I wish I could go to Columbia Harbor House. That's my favorite, place to eat. And it wasn't open, still not. But who knows? It'll probably be open this weekend now that I said that, because that's how things work with our show. But it was just, you're right. I mean, but the thing is somebody who works in, manages my own business, my own travel agency, clientele and so forth, is that, you got to do what you can to survive, right? You got to cut back. I've had to cut back a lot this year. Everybody's had to cut back. We've had to kind of tighten the purse strings, and Disney's so different. If it's fewer experiences for a little bit and then they can just reopen things as the, as the virus allows and as travel picks back up, hey, that's, if we got a small term, sacrifice there to get everything back, I'm fine. I think Disney, I don't know. I mean, you work in business and in banking and so forth. I think Disney's doing a pretty decent job. I mean, you see a lot of negativity on social media, but I think that, they have to do what they can to survive, like you said. And I think they want all those cast members coming back to work, but I mean, they have to pay the bills. And I mean, admissions into the park are what pay the bills, heads in the beds. And it's just not where it was for a little bit. So I hope they hang in there. I think we'll make it, but I mean, they're doing the best they can.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, they usually make, I feel like they make good decisions. That may not like them, but they're making decisions for a reason. And that's what we kind of told ourselves, because there were a lot of restaurants that we typically go to or that are on the rotation that just weren't open. You mentioned Columbia Harbor House. Our favorite is Ohana. And, mm-hmm. and we didn't, we had planned to go there in April. And then we in the August trip, we were like, all right, this time we're going to go there twice, because we're going to do the dining plan. We're going to go in the beginning of the trip and the end of the trip, and that didn't happen. And then we were hoping we could go in December. Wasn't open. So we really missed that. But Woody's Lunchbox, I mean, just something, you know, kind of, we love Woody's Lunchbox. And that's something that that wasn't open, not even the commissary. So we were really, and we knew all that going in. So it was nice in a way. It forced us to try new stuff. Yep. And some of it, like I have a note here I'm looking at, we had never gone to the Plaza restaurant before. And there was nothing, like, not that it has to be fancy, but there was nothing over the top about the food, but it was all just amazing. Yeah. I mean, it was, I had the meatloaf and I think I was licking the plate.
That's what I'm saying. I love the meatloaf at the Plaza. I haven't had it for a few years, but I used to go there every summer because of the meatloaf. And it's such a little quaint little place. You know, you can see the castle outside the windows. It's like, it's almost like eating in an old soda, like your old grandma's house or something, or a little soda fountain or something. But God, you're right. The meatloaf is awesome.
My girls make fun of me because they brought some sundaes to the table, and they were, I think they were supposed to bring chocolate ones, and they brought vanilla ones. And so they said, oh, well, you just leave them here. We'll bring, and I ate, you know, whatever they didn't eat, I was eating the sundaes, and they're still giving me a hard time. Like, Dad, eating two sundaes.
Hey, that's what we do on vacation. You know what? I mean, my family knows what doesn't get finished is fair game for me. So heads up. That's great. So what you guys mentioned, you really like Ohana. So any other favorites that, or did you find a new, you mentioned the Plaza, but did you find anything else that kind of surprised you either in August or December, a new restaurant?
Yeah. So, one of our favorites, and we've been there before, is Boathouse. We always, make a point to go there. Which I'll tell you, if there's any old fashioned drinkers in the, in listening, is the hands down the best old fashioned I've had at Disney. I don't know what they do to it, but it's amazing. We went to Art Smith's brunch. First time we've done that.
Oh, I've done that too. That's dangerous. Oh. I cannot. Oh, that I just, you said that and I just got pain in my side. I'm like, oh, I can't. I eat too much. I walk out of that place. I just need to call an ambulance.
I mean, it was, and I had that Hallelujah biscuit.
That's what I heard you talking about. We eat the same thing. You were like brothers or something. So that's good. Crazy.
Hey, and I learned something there too, because my family isn't the most adventurous. They're not the most adventurous eaters. And I'll try new stuff and try different stuff. And I wanted to get the deviled eggs, but no one else was going to eat them. So I asked and I was going to do it. And I asked our server, and I didn't know this, but you can order like two deviled eggs if you want, or you can order four, you can order one. They just prorate the price for you and they'll bring it out to you. And same with the donuts.
Nice. Yeah, you sound too much like me, because I have two daughters, picky eaters. I'm the only adventurous one. And you're right, deviled eggs, boy. I think they're called the church ladies' deviled eggs. They're no joke. Those things are good too. Good stuff. Oh man, that's so. You had the Hallelujah biscuit. Oh my gosh, that thing is so good. The brunch, though, you know, people. That's one of those things you only get to do on the weekends, and it's a quick ADR. But man, I'm telling you, if you get an opportunity, if you're down there, everybody should give that a shot. I mean, if you're into like comfort food, if that's not your jam, it's not probably your thing. But you know, I'm one of those people that, besides Mexican food, like if you put me to Cracker Barrel, I'm good. You know, that's why I love Olivia's. It's comfort food. And you know, that kind of stuff is just, it's exquisite. I love it. It's so good.
My daughters wanted to go there the next day. And my 7-year-old, she got the French toast, and it came on the Cuban bread. We didn't know that. It just said French toast. And she wanted to have, I mean, we almost ordered another helping so our other daughter could have some. But we looked, you know, the brunch was really a good compromise, because it had, my wife's favorite dish is the fried chicken and donuts. Mm-hmm. And she split that with my older daughter, and I got to do my own thing. And so it was really a good experience. Had all the food that we wanted and then some. We didn't feel like we missed out on anything, because we were on the brunch menu instead of the dinner menu. They highly recommend it.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. So let me ask about your girls. What are some of their favorite things to do? Because again, vast audience, a lot of folks planning trips for the very first time, or, you know, maybe they're taking the grandkids and they want to really do something special for girls your age, like what is Hide? I mean, is it, I don't know, man, is it Frozen Ever After? My youngest is 13. My girls are quickly growing up. It goes too fast. I'm telling you, you know, she's fine to be on TikTok and Instagram now, which I'm like, no, but her mom let her. So she's on there a little bit, but we monitor everything, by the way, but she's a cheerleader. So it's weird. So what are your girls into? Like, what is Walt Disney World? What do they like to do?
So they really will ride almost anything. Our 7.5-year-old is, a little, like, she's just kind of warming up the Splash Mountain, but she's starting to like it. She did ride Space Mountain this time, or last August for the first time. I mean, she's done most of them except for like Rock and Roller Coaster, and she's even done Everest. So she likes those. Her favorite ride is Small World, and Pirates, and you know, and the Barnstormer. And I'll tell you, Mike, this was a first trip for us, where my wife and I got to ride stuff together and the kids could ride stuff because they were old enough. So we did Toy Story Mania. That's one of our family's probably favorite, like, family ride. And it was the kids against the adults, which that never happened before because we always had to be, you know, be with the little one. And even it was funny. I got some pictures. It was a little teary eyed, but seeing my both girls waiting in line for the Tomorrowland the Speedway, you know, and we're sitting under the shelter and we're watching them and they're waiting in line. They just, you know, it's like they're just growing up, like you said. So, and they get out there, and of course they're going like half a mile an hour in these cars. But it was just something, they were just so like proud that they got to do something without mom and dad, you know.
Oh, that is a great one to turn them loose on, though, because that way you don't have to endure the 7-minute ride of them just thumping off that middle bar. Boom, boom. I mean, I've done that many times.
and the fumes, I mean, the fumes will get you, especially on an August day, man. It's like, you know, so they did that. Our oldest one, she did Space Mountain by herself. Like, that was a big deal for her. No kidding. She went in and we waited for her and she rode by herself. And then I rode with her and our youngest so that she could do it. But they like, I mean, I think Slinky Dog is probably everyone's favorite in our family. They love that. The Alien Saucers. The only thing we haven't gotten a chance to do, we didn't do Rise. We couldn't get a boarding pass when we were there. But that's really about it. They like the Smuggler's Run. We did that, and Mickey and everybody loved Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Yep, cha cha cha.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we were just blown away by that. You know, we didn't know what to expect.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think in Epcot, my youngest one's all about Figment, and we love Living with the Land. I mean, just that we could just coast on that ride like all day long.
Yes, that's my favorite. Yes, I love Living with the Land.
Yeah, I've named a lot, but I mean, we typically try to do, you know, most of the stuff where we can. And we're like you said, if we don't get to do Soarin' or we don't get to do Frozen, we know we're going to be back with, you know, six, eight months or whatever, and we'll knock it out then. We typically have a good time. We spent a lot of time at the pool this time too, because, you know, going back to the reduced hours, but you didn't really need longer hours. So we did more pool days than we normally do. The kids, they're finally, well, they've been at an age to enjoy the pool games, but they haven't always enjoyed it. And so now both of them were playing games together, just really having a fun time at the pool. And it allowed my wife and I just to kind of sit back and we could watch them, or we could grab a cocktail and just sit in the lounge chairs. So it was kind of a different trip for us last year, in that we didn't have to be in the pool the whole time with our kids, or we didn't have to be on every ride with our kids. So I think we're starting to get to where you are, right? Where you got to do separate stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because, you know, Paige, you know, she's 11 years older than Mallory. So when I was first going down with the podcast in 2008, 2009, it was Paige and I. And Paige was, you know, obviously like 11, 12. And Hannah, Pam's daughter from the show, they were the same age. And they had both been so many times that we felt comfortable, you know, turning those two, as long as they were together. You know, like, we didn't want to turn them loose by themselves. But as long as they were together, we were good to let them go, like, to the side of the park, or, you know, to go get something or come back and, you know, stuff like that. And they had cell phones and stuff. But You're right. I mean, Walt Disney World, I think, is a kind of a great, no place is 100% safe, right? You got to use precautions no matter where you are, even if you're at home. But the thing is, I mean, it's a safe environment where that is an opportunity where, yeah, like you said, let them stand in line together, let them do an attraction, just stand back from a distance and kind of watch it happen and, you know, get the tear in your eye that the kids are growing up way too fast. But it is, I mean, it's one of those things that it is kind of a great transitional place to let them, because I mean, when you said like Toy Story Mania, while you had fun riding that with your wife, I'm sure the girls like felt super grown up, and that was like even though the ride is cool itself, probably the coolest part about that was that they were not riding with a parent, you know, and on the Speedway, same thing. I mean, they got to gossip and stuff. They felt like, you know, probably like teenagers at that point, you know, but they probably had a great time out, you know, doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, they did. And even simple things like, letting our oldest walk over to pick up some food at the I still can't think of the place, the Grand Floridian Market, where we'd order it, and we could see her almost the whole way there. And like I said, she went by about 5 security guards for the NBA. So, I mean, it was pretty safe, and we could sit on the balcony and watch her. But just something like that. I mean, she just felt like she was 18, and she acts like half the time, but yeah, she was. But you know, just little things like that we wouldn't let her do here. We you know, not going to let her just walk to the other side of the neighborhood, you know, for no reason. But she really enjoyed that type of stuff, and you know, so more of that come. We've been having the conversation of, you know, when do we let them? If we want to do one thing in Magic Kingdom, when do we let them? Like you said, stay together and go do something they want to do, and then meet back somewhere. So
it's a tough call. It's a tough, you know, it's there's no right answer. The thing is, I think it'll just feel right when it's right. You know, that's because what somebody else says, it doesn't matter. It's what you feel and what you're comfortable with. Yeah, that's fine. I think I want to say Ghirardelli's, but it's Gasparilla's, right? Isn't that the
Gasparilla's? Yeah,
I was like, why am I thinking Ghirardelli's? That's a chocolate place. But I knew it was like with the
Jeeps. Yeah, we've been there too. Disney Springs.
Same. Yes, I've been there many times. Got me. Back in the day, you used to get your little piece of chocolate for free. I don't think you get that anymore.
Oh, I know. Well, one other thing I was going to mention, back home, our neighborhood pool was open, but we have a really big slide, and they decided not to open it because, again, everybody's trying to figure out how to deal with COVID and how to safely deal with it. And what it really came down to was they didn't want the neighborhood to be sued because someone said they got COVID on the slot. So makes sense when you hear the rationale. Didn't like it because our youngest had just gotten tall enough to ride, to go down the slide last summer. So it was heartbreaking to tell her that. But at Disney, fortunately the pool that wasn't in the bubble was the one with the slide. So she wore a track out from the pool to the slide and down. I mean, I don't know how many times she went down, but it was great because she got her slide fill for the summer on that like week we were there. So it all worked out.
You know what? That's cool because, you know, I really do feel for kids. You know, when we grew up, like you just had your benchmarks. You did. I remember going off the high dive at Bangert Park. It was a big deal that summer. You know, I was like, oh, it's time I can do the, you know, you feel like you're jumping off the Empire State Building back in the day. And I think it was like 10 feet. I think they've taken it out by now because I don't think they even trust kids to jump off a 10-foot diving board at this point. But it was, you know, it was a big deal. That's kind of like, you know, as you move through childhood, that's what you did in our little town. And, you know, kids last summer, they a lot of things they missed. I mean, of course, high school graduations and stuff like that. But I mean, even small things like that, you look forward to that. Or, the fair comes to town, you know, the county fair, and you were going to do that ride with all your friends from school. And kids missed out on that. So it's great that, you know, we got to give kids an opportunity to do similar things, and in this case, probably more fun things. But it is kind of what you make of it. And I've loved talking about this. This is awesome. So let me ask you one last question before we get out of here. You guys have more trips on the horizon. So how do you guys around the house plan, prepare for a trip, especially with the girls? Do you guys talk about it a lot? Do you, you know, kind of get input from everybody as to where you might want to, like you said, you're going to go over to Beach Club, I'm guessing, for Storm Along Bay to have some pool time over there. You know, how do you kind of keep it all going to kind of keep everybody excited till that next trip?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times because, well, I mean, even with DVC, there's still that window that you're always looking at. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's DVC or you're just planning fast passes or ADRs in the old days, you know, where there's always a window that's coming open. And you know this, Mike, because it's probably every day you've got multiple windows open for guests, I'm sure. But you know, so it's really kind of, we keep on track of it. We, like I said, we invested in DVC, so we want to make sure we get, if, you know, that we get the places we want to stay if we can. So typically I'll kind of start throwing out dates to my wife, and she'll kind of check and make sure the kids' schedules with dance and other stuff don't collide with that. And then we'll kind of lock it in. And then, you know, now before COVID, you'll probably appreciate this. I had a spreadsheet. Every year I made a new spreadsheet. Nice. And I would put the days on there, and I'm like, okay, where do we want to go? And I'd have all that ready to go. And then at 7 o'clock, whatever, the 7 o'clock in the morning when the ADR is open, you know, it was like, all right, got to get VR gas, got to get, you know, whatever. And we kind of approach it that way. We start filling in the pieces, and the same with fast passes. I think now it's been a little more laid back. You know, even in August, we did, we actually just talked about it a couple weeks ago because we had to make the park reservations. But it wasn't too bad. We were like, we're going to be at the beach club, so we're going to stay, we're going to be in the, bouncing back and forth between these two parks, and then we'll hit the other two when we move over to Grand Floridian. So it's kind of a, you know, it is kind of a family, kind of a group planning. Once we start getting into it, the kids get excited. And you know, one thing I didn't mention is, and you know this, there's always something new there. I mean, right. Even if you go 3 or 4 times a year, there's always something, like a donut shop, or we just missed Gideon's in December. It opened couple of days after we left. So there's always something. When we go back in a month, the kids are, they're dying to go to the M&M store. Right. You know, that's so I think that's another way we keep them excited. We kind of keep up to date. You know, not as much as Ricky does, but we read, we get the blogs and the Facebook feeds and in a couple of groups like that. And so we're always seeing the latest news, gets us excited.
You know, and for us, I mean, I do this all day, every day for guests. And so it's one of those things I'm kind of bad for my own family, because by the end of the night, like the last thing I want to do is like plan another, you know, like work on my trip, because my trip, yeah. We'll be fine. You know, like I'm the worst, and Pam Forrester is exactly the same. We're both the same way. We're like, we're surrounded by it all the time, which we love, but it's like our trip, it'll be fine. But what I enjoy is just kind of the informal plans of, you know, for example, I was driving my daughter to cheerleading tonight before the podcast. And, you know, we talk about it. She saw a commercial today. She has, what was it? It was the M&M store in Gideon's. We were talking about that because she saw something on TV about Disney Springs. And, you know, it's not that we put anything in stone, but it's just the fun that, you know, we've been there. She likes, because she's been there, now she's invested. And so she, you know, we talk about it, and that makes me happy because I like talking about it. So, yeah, we'll do that next time. You know, I don't know what day we're going to do it or what time, but, you know, we'll go to the M&M store. We'll go to Gideon's and I'll eat a cookie. You know, we'll have cake, I think Scott said. So we'll have a good time. But hey, so
I wanted to mention one other thing that was just kind of, this is one of those that you mentioned, asked about experiences. We found this is kind of odd at Grand Floridian in the DVC building there. It goes up to the 6th floor and there's rooms up there. But if you ever, we had never noticed this, but there is a one side of that building, or one wing of the building, only goes up to the 5th floor. So there's literally a door, and we checked it out, and it's just this long hallway where rooms normally would be, except it's the roof. I mean, not the roof, but right under the roof. And it goes to the emergency steps. So it's a secret hallway. And our girls got the biggest kick out of it, because it felt like we, you know, And on the last night, we had some popsicles left because we had bought some at Publix. And so we had a popsicle club, secret popsicle club meeting in the hallway.
So what is this? It's like, it was like the attic or something? I mean, what is this?
Sort of, but I mean, you're not going anywhere out of the ordinary. It was on our floor where we were staying. It's just, instead of going down one wing to your room, it's basically an emergency door, but it leads to the stairs. So you can like, It's a legitimate like place that you can go, But it was funny though. My youngest one was really nervous, like we were doing something wrong.
Yeah, that's my daughter, totally my daughter. Like, we're getting in trouble. Stop, Dad! No, we're gonna be arrested.
It's just this hallway. It's just a hallway that goes to the exterior. It goes to the stairs if you want to take that route. Oh. But just something neat that we found that we'll probably never forget. You know, this every time we go there now, we go to the secret hallway.
That's awesome. The secret popsicle club. That's cool. I love that. And that's the kind of stuff, again, I love that kind of stuff more than like, oh, Space Mountain was great. You know, like that's the memory you'll remember. Like, you know, your daughter freaking out because you're, you know, in some place you're not supposed to be, which you actually totally be there. Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, I appreciate you taking the time and hope you guys have some great trips here in 2021. Love to hear about them. But again, happy birthday to your daughter. Happy half birthday to the other daughter because we can't miss that either. And, you know, stay safe down there in Charlotte. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me on here and always good to talk Disney.
All righty. Don't forget today's show brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Of course, we are booking 2022 packages now for part of the year. Now, again, we still have the 499 rule. We can only book out 499 days. And Michael mentioned earlier, I know all those dates in my head. I know it's recording on a Wednesday when I'm recording this. 499 days from today is July 1st, 2022. So we can get through the beginning of July and into 2022. So if you're looking at that trip, if it's been delayed by COVID or just, you know, hey, you just want to be an early bird. I know a lot of folks, you know, people are booking rooms for Marathon Weekend 2022, crossing my fingers, Princess. We're just guessing at dates. We're hoping it happens. But if you want to get that on the books, and of course, 2021, great discounts out there right now. 2 free days of tickets for some packages, some dates. Also, great room discounts over at the Moderate Deluxes and Values. So check it all out over at the Magic for Less. Fill out that no obligation quote form. Mention the show. And I promise you, I'll get back to you right away. We'll be planning a great trip. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. I appreciate that. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, a huge shout out to our patrons. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for supporting the show, keeping us going. While travel's down just a bit, we're going to be back in 21, but I appreciate you hanging in there with us. If you'd like some extra content like Mike in the Midwest every Thursday, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at @BeOurGuestMike. And of course, subscribe over on Facebook and YouTube. One more thing, we want to see you on Sunday nights, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. Scott and I get together to take your calls. We talk about the news of the week and then, hey, everything's fair game. You want to talk Disney? You want to talk about the Leave a Legacy over at Epcot? Tell us how ugly they are. That's cool. Want to tell us how awesome they are? That's cool. Whatever you want to do, just call us. We like talking Disney. We're going to do it with you and then put it out on the feed every Thursday. All right, time to get out of here and let's attack this 5-day week with zest. Let's make it awesome and make somebody's day today. How about that? All right, for Michael, I'm Mike. It's Mike and Mike in the Morning. We wish you a great Monday. Time to head back to work and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.